Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening to everyone. Welcome to Labors for Christ, Ward Life Center. We're in spiritual growth and development, and we are going to be continuing our topic on spiritual contamination. But for the next few minutes, we're just going to do prayer, and then we'll be coming back with our lesson. So, but first, we want to start off with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come through a mortal agreement touching heaven and earth, and you said it will be done so according to Matthew 18 and 4. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you that every tongue and every word that rises against us just shall condemn. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord and our righteousness according to Isaiah 4 and 7. Heavenly Father, we thank you that it is written, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself to the knowledge, and bringing into captivity every thought to be according to 2 Corinthians 4. In the name of Jesus, we pull down every demonic stronghold, doubt, that we have in our mind of anyone that we have prayed. Pull down and cast aside in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pull down every vain imagination in us and every vain imagination, everyone. We pull them down and cast them aside in the name of the Lord. Pull down every high thought in us and every high thought in everyone that we have prayed for that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We pull them down and cast aside in the name of the Lord Christ now. And we bring every thought captive in each of us to the obedience of Christ according to 1 Corinthians 3 through 6. Lord Jesus, we thank you that the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. We ask you now to cause your anointing to break and destroy any yoke of bondage, along with all their works, roots, tentacles, and links that are in our lives and the lives of one of us. We ask you to give us deliverance and freedom from all these bondages in the name of Jesus. We thank you according to John 14 and 14. We ask to loose your angels in great abundance in our presence, the presence of everyone that we have prayed for, into our homes, cars, lands, properties, buildings, workplaces, in great abundance to protect us, guard us, and to force us, drive out and cleanse out all evil, wicked, demon, and tormenting spirits from our presence, and send them to where Christ is. Hear our cry, O God. Attend to our prayer from the ends of the earth. We will cry unto you when our heart is overwhelmed. Lead us to the rock that is higher than us, for you have been a shelter for us, a strong tower from you. We will abide in your tabernacle forever. We will trust in the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard our vows. You have given us the heritage of those who fear your name. We ask you to let us abide with you forever and prepare mercy which serve us. So we will sing praise to your name forever, that we may daily perform our vows according to Psalm. Heavenly Father, in you, Lord, we put our trust. Let us never be ashamed. Deliver us in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to us. Deliver us speedily. Be our rock of refuge, a fortress of defense. Save us. For you are our rock and our fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead us and guide us. Pull us out of the net that has secretly laid for us. For you are our Into your hand we commit our spirits. Redeem us, O Lord God of truth. We have hated those who regard you as idols, but we trust in you, Heavenly. We will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered our trouble. You have known our soul in adversity, and you have not shut us up into the hand of the enemy. You have set our feet in a wide place. Have mercy, O Lord, for we are. We thank you that it is written in Psalm 30, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, and it is covered. Blessed is the man who the Lord does not and in whose heart there is no deceit. We have acknowledged our sins and our iniquity, we have not hid. We said we will confess our transgressions to the Lord and forgave the iniquity of our sins. For this cause, everyone who is godly should pray to in a time when you may be found, surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near us. You are our hiding place. You shall preserve us from troubles. You shall surround us with songs of deliverance. We thank you for instructing and teaching in the way we should go and guiding us with your eyes for some. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the enemy shall come in like a flood. Your Holy Spirit will lift up a standard against us. Heavenly Father, we ask you to nullify, dismantle, cancel, and stop all works of darkness which are designed to hinder, prevent, deny, or delay your original plans and purposes for our lives according to Daniel 7. Lord Jesus, thank you for redeeming us from the curse according to Galatians' personal law, having become a curse for us. Father, thank you for saving us and all members of our household, according to Acts 16:31, which says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved in your house. We're going to ask Sister Arnett if she would read Psalm 35 prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray for ourselves and everyone we pray for today. We ask that you will plead our cause, O Lord, with them that strive with us. We ask you to fight against them that fight against us. Lord, we ask that you take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for our help. We ask that you draw out the spear and stop them that persecute us. We ask you to say unto our souls, we are your salvation. We ask that they be confounded and put to shame that seek after our souls. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devises our hurt. Let them be as a chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them, for without cause have they hid for us their net in a pit, which without cause they have dug for our souls. We ask that destruction come upon him at unawares, and let this net that he has hid catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall. We ask that our soul in the Lord. We ask that we shall rejoice in our salvation. We ask that all of our bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him. Amen.
And I ask Pastor Jeff to lead us.
Father God, we just thank you right now, Lord, and we thank you for this day. For this is the day that you have made, Lord. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, O Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, we thank you for just being with us throughout the day, O Heavenly Father, Lord, covering us, O Heavenly Father, being a hedge of protection, O Heavenly Father, and a fence all around us, O Heavenly Father, Father God. Lord, we just block out any distractions, oh Heavenly Father, Lord, that might come in and try to seep out your word, Lord. We block out the enemy, Lord. We rebuke him in your name, oh Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we just thank you right now, Heavenly Father, Lord, for your word that's going to go forth, oh Heavenly Father, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you would be in the midst, oh Heavenly Father, Lord, and that your word would just be like a fire raining down, Lord, from heaven, oh Heavenly Father, Lord, just delivering our minds, Lord, from what we want to believe that we think the word should be, oh Heavenly Father, Lord. We just pray that you will free our minds up, Lord, to receive your word for what you will have us to see it, Lord. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and we do pray.
Ask Pastor Connie if she wouldn't mind praying for me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, just thanking you and praising you for this day, Father God. We thank you for your mercy, hallelujah, and your grace and your truth, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit that you sent to rest, rule, and abide in us, Father God, to guide us, to direct us throughout truth. So, Father God, we thank you for this day, Father God, a day that has been coming since the foundation of the world, Father God, and you knew what this day was going to hold for us. So we just say thank you, Father God. We praise you for whom you are, Father God. Hallelujah. There is nobody like you, Father God. So we just say thank you, thank you, thank you, Father God, for each and every perfect gift that comes from above. We thank you, Father God, for your love and your mercy, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that grace is through, Father God, your grace, Father God. We thank you that you just watched over us all this day, Father God, and you brought us to this hour, Father God. So we thank you, Father God. Oh, we praise you and glorify you. We love you today, Father God. We magnify you. We lift you up. You are the one, Father God, that has brought us through, Father God. So we thank you, Father God, that your word says you'll never leave us, nor would you forsake us. So we thank you. We praise you and for glorify you, Father God. Oh, we thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for your mighty word that is going to go forth tonight, Father God, that we can glean off your word, Father God, and we can apply it to our lives, Father God, and the seed that is being planted, it will grow up into a grape, to a fruit, Father God, whereby we can be able to tell some other man, boy, woman, or girl about your word, Father God, how your word will penetrate us, Father God, as we see in the mind's eye of fear, Father God, that is growing up, Father God, glorifying you, Father God. The fear is this world, Father God, that people, ooh, hallelujah, will hear about you, Father God, and repent and return back unto you for those, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and those that are living according to your word, Father God, we pray that you will strengthen them each and every day, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for her labors for Christ, Father God, spiritual life enrichment class, Father God. Thank you for our apostle, Chonette Hawthorne, Father God. Thank you for the vision that you have given unto her, Father God, and thank you, Father God, for her, the lay people, Father God, for the pastors and the prophets, the pastors and evangelists and the teachers that are the provision, Father God. So we thank you, Father God, that you are working out a new thing each and every day, Father God, in our lives, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that your word is not hidden, Father God, to those that believe and trust in you, Father God. So we thank you now that you have a great plan for each and every one of your people, Father God. Your plan, Father God, is not hidden from you, but, Father God, for those that don't know yet, Father God, we thank you that you are sending workers out into the vineyard to compel them to come into your kingdom so they can learn of you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, you said to take your yoke upon you and learn of you, for your burdens are light and your yoke is easy. So we thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that everyone that hears the message that you have tonight, Father God, will take it in and glean it in their hearts, and they can walk therefore strong in you, Father God, in the name of Jesus.
And they will know the enemy, Father God, when the enemy tries to slip up on them, Father God. You said to know our enemy, Father God, and to resist our enemy, Father God. So we thank you for the spirit of resistance, Father God. We thank you now, Father God, for the spirit of, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the spirit of repentance, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we can get even closer and closer to you, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, that we can draw people to you, Father God, not to ourselves, but to you, Father God. So we just thank you and praise you, Father. We know, Father God, without a shadow of doubt, your word says that you never leave us, nor would you forsake us, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that your word says that you are here. You were there all the time. So we thank you, Father God, for being here, Father God, leading us and directing us into all truth by your Holy Spirit. So we say thank you now, Father God, as we go through this day, Father God. Open up our ears that we can see, Father, hear, Father God, and open up our eyes that we can see beyond the natural realm and look into the spiritual realm and hear what you have to say unto your church. You said the angels of the church, Father God. So we say thank you now for it, Father God. We praise you that your word tells us that your thoughts towards us is good and not evil. So we thank you. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you for your thoughts, Father God. It's a privilege and honor just to be in your thoughts. So we thank you now, Father God. We praise you and glorify you that your word tells us that you will not let us be ashamed. You will not let anything overtake us, Father God, that is come to man. You will give us a way of escape. So we are depending on your word, Father God. We are trusting in you. We are standing on your word, Father God. We're going to be like that strong soldier, Father God. The battle is not ours, but it is yours. We thank you for our weapons of warfare, Father God. In the name of Jesus, because your words, you said that we will not lose not one of our weapons. So, Father God, we thank you. And we praise you, and we glorify you, and we honor you, Father God, because you're worthy of all praise and all glory. There's nobody like you, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us another opportunity to come out and to learn of you, another opportunity, Father God, to know more and more about you, that we can seek you and seek your faith. You said if we seek you, you shall be found, or you will be found. So we thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for this opportunity to learn about you, Father God. And we praise you, Father God. Give us power, give us power and strength to endure whatever the enemy thinks he's trying to do, Father God, that we can speak to that enemy and he shall flee, Father God. And we thank you now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father God, that you have given us understanding that we can be steadfast, unremovable, and always abounding in your word. Thank you, Father God, for the overseers of this church. Thank you, Father God, for each pastor, the apostle, the prophet, the bishop, Father God. It's not in order, but Father God, you understand, Father God. Thank you, Father, evangelists, and thank you for the teachers, Father God. Thank you for each person that enter into this building, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Bless this Ladies for Christ from the head from the front door to the back door, Father God. Bless, Father God, in the name of Jesus that is housing us in it, Father God. Bless him too, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, for your healing virtue that is flowing over your people today. This is a new day. This is a new beginning, Father God, for lives, many lives are going to be changed just from learning about you and from hearing your word, Father God. So we thank you. Bless the a facilitator today, Father God, bless her and continue to and enrich her, Father God, and crown her head with even more wisdom that she can continue, Father God, to teach your word, Father God. So we say thank you now, Father God. We thank you for Minister April. We thank you for everyone that assembled themselves here, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Those that are listening, Father God, we thank you and praise you for them too. Because, Father God, there's something mighty and great that you have in store for each one, Father God. So we say thank you now in Jesus' precious name. This is my prayer. Amen. And hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you.
Father God, in the name. So we are session on surgery. And for the past 3 weeks, we have been talking about various principalities, the seven spirits. And then last week, we talked about the spirit of Python. And so tonight, we're going to talk about another principality, which is pretty familiar with everyone, I think. We're going to be talking about the gods of Jezebel. Like we've always mentioned every week, we've always mentioned Jezebel. She comes up in that spirit comes up in almost every class. So she's going to come up again tonight, but tonight we're going to focus on Baal. We're going to focus on Baal, which was one of the gods that Jezebel worshipped. So we know that Baal was it was the principal male god of the Phoenicians, and it symbolized as a calf. He has names such as the God of Heaven, Exalted Lord, small L, of the Earth, and Lord of the City, small L, Lord of the City. So all these titles reflect his assignment over cities, over nations, over the Earth. And so, as we mentioned before, the scripture from Deuteronomy 28:23 says, "And your heavens, which are over your head, shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron." So we actually keep that particular scripture in mind, because what happens is that if a city is sinful, then the entire area could be isolated from God's blessing. And the entire region could become barren because of idol worship or Baal worship. And, you know, that results in idolatry, sin, rebellion. We know that idolatry leads to sexual perversion, sexual generation. Now, like we talked about in the first week, we talked about the Queen of Heaven spirit. And one of her names was Ashtoreth. Baal and Ashtoreth were married, if you will. So they work together to promote sexual perversion, human sacrifice, murder, slander against legitimate authority, abortion, homosexuality, same-sex marriages, even pornography. And so again, like we mentioned from the scripture in Deuteronomy 28:23, when we are disobedient, God shuts off heaven's blessing, causes the ground to become barren. So that's how Baal becomes a ruling principality over the city or over the area. Baal is identified as the ruler of demons. So he's like a presiding demon, presiding deity, if you would, in any given locality. He was a presiding deity over the Philistines. They worshiped Baal as well as Dagon, and we'll get to that later on. In Matthew 12:24, we see the name Beelzebub. That is another name for Baal. Now, if we recall from the Seven Mountains, Beelzebub is one of the principalities that we have to disarm over the mountain of Media, the lie. And so Beelzebub is another name for Baal. And so in actuality, we're coming with the mountain of Media, we're coming against Baal, the spirit of Baal. You know, and almost each of the mountains that we have to we can see, we will find the spirit of Baal manifest. And we'll see that as we kind of go through this lesson. Now, the Canaanites, they worshiped this idol Baal, which was in the shape of an enlarged male sex organ. And the temple prostitute supported the worship of Baal. Now, the Hebrew word for Baal means lord, master, possessor, or husband. All these small L for Lord, Master, and H, you know, small H. So he's not our Lord, capital L, but he's small L, Lord. And so that carries implication of control or possession. And so another word for Baal is Bel, B-E-L, which means Lord or control over men. And so what happens is that he tries to counterfeit the true God. One of his names is Baal Berith, which we know El Berith, but Baal Berith also means the Lord of the Covenant, but it's small L. And so what happens is that this spirit always attempted to cause Israel to break covenant with God and to become aligned with Baal. And in a lot of ways, you know, in America, we have broken covenant with God. And as a result, we have become aligned or married. I don't want to use married today, but aligned ourselves with Baal, because in many ways we have broken our covenant with God. Now, I said earlier that Ashtoreth was his quote-unquote wife. It's a female counterpart, Baal. And so when these two spirits work together, it releases a double whammy of demonic activity. So we're not just coming against Baal. We're coming against Baal and Ashtoreth, basically. And so we know that Jezebel, she worshipped Baal. She worshipped Baal and Ashtoreth. And so she became one and the same with both of these idols. She served both of these gods. Let's go to Revelation 2:20-29. Gone over the scripture as well, but I think it bears repeating. Revelation 2:20-29 says, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce." She calls herself a prophetess. God didn't call her one. She called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill off her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each of one of you according to your work. Now you, I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depth of Satan, and they say, I will put on you no other burden. Behold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my words until the end, to him I will give him power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel. And I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now, I think one of the translations uses the word fornication. It may say fornication in the King James. This is the New King James. Fornication, and this is probably verse 20, is not just sexual sin. It is desiring anything before its time, therefore aborting the proper timing of things. In the natural, when we fornicate, we want to, how do I put this gently, we want to pretend like we're married without making it legal. We want something before the proper time, you know, when we commit sexual fornication. And that's what fornication, it is desiring anything before the proper time. It's aborting the proper timing of things. So in other words, it convinces us that we have to have what we want. We have to have it now. And that will happen when we fornicate. You know? I mean, your flesh is saying, I want this now, outside of the proper time. You know? Fornication and sacrificing to idols, these are symbols of apostasy against God. And also it mentions in the 20 verse, it talks about seduction. Seduction is getting people to enter into sin and do things that are forbidden. So, for example, very simple example, sometimes we may say something like, now, you know, girl, did you hear what so-and-so said? And don't tell nobody, but so-and-so, so-and-so, what is that? Exactly. Murmuring, gossiping, all that is forbidden by Scripture. But how many times have we done that? And we've been guilty of partnering with this spirit. Because seduction is entering sin and doing things that's forbidden. Gossiping, murmuring, complaining is forbidden by Scripture. But we have done it. You know, because I have. I've complained. I mean, you know. Verse 22 says that those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Tribulation is affliction, trouble, anguish, persecution. And so when we come into agreement with the spirit, we are allowing demonic interest. Therefore, it results in distress. But the promise is given to us in verse 26 is that he who overcomes, meaning overcoming the doctrine of faith, and this is the promise that to the church that overcomes, given the power of nations. And so as we overcome the spirit and we refuse to tolerate, then God is going to give us the power to rule the nation. But understand that we also have to come into a certain place. You know, enter into a place before we can talk about ruling, reigning with Christ, reigning with the earth. But we cannot tolerate, you know, the spirit. Verse 27 says they will rule with an iron rod and smash it, meaning God is going to give us his iron rod, of iron scepter. In other words, he's empowering us with greater measure of authority, our enemy. And so if we do what's right in God's eyes, he will give us grace, power, you know, and we will receive the morning star. That's another name for Christ. We're going to keep our finger there in Revelation because we're going to come back to it. In the Old Testament, we know that Israel was like in Hosea. I love Hosea. Hosea 2:2-8, Israel is like the wife of God. In the New Testament, we, the church, we're the bride of Christ, right? Okay, Jesus being the bridegroom. God disassociated himself from Baal in Hosea 2:16-17. Did someone have that? Or someone get that? Hosea chapter 2. I think the King James may have the Hebrew word ishi, right? Right, okay. So what this scripture is saying is that God disassociated himself from Baal by asking to be called their husband, by bringing them into a relationship rather than control and possession. Remember, Baal is all about control and possession. God wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want to control us. You know, it's relationship. Said, you know, Baal was about control and possession. This distinction is key as we discern demonic forces that is out to control and bind people, because Baal wants to control and possess. We see this with Jezebel, the Jezebel spirit. We often say, you know, the person has a Jezebel spirit or whatever, control, because she worshiped Baal. That's where that control comes from. It comes from her worship the God of Baal. And we know that God has no tolerance, absolutely no tolerance. Jeremiah 51:44 says, I will punish Baal in Babylon, and I will make what he has swallowed come out of his mouth, and the nations will no longer serve. So he has no tolerance for the worship. Now we're going to go to a very familiar passage, which is verse 33, talk about Ahab. Sharnette, do you have that? First Kings 16. First Kings chapter Ahab, it wasn't just worshiping Baal. It was the fact that he married Jezebel, who worshiped Baal, even though God had forbidden intermarriage with heathen, number one. And so what happened was that this marriage led to the Baal worship being introduced to Israel. Because remember, it said that Ahab was in Samaria, okay? And Jezebel brought her idolatry and her witchcraft to a whole nother level. Because she was from Sidon, and her father was Ethbaal, who was a priest of Astarte, okay? And so people become like the gods they serve. So in other words, they become like a mirror image of the idol which they bow down to. Ethbaal means like unto Baal. That's what his name means, meaning that he took on the likeness or the characteristic of God he worshipped. He was a priest of Baal, of Astarte, okay? He was a king in Tyre, which was a city that was never conquered by the Israelites. It was part of the promised land, but Israel never received the possession. And the only way he became the king over this area is because he plotted murder and illegally. We saw the same thing with Jezebel when she plotted to have Naboth killed. And even we see the same thing with her daughter, Asphali, however you pronounce it, who was the queen in Judah. We have a generation. Now, Jezebel was the daughter of Ethbaal. Daughter in Hebrew means branch or an offshoot. So in other words, she was just like her father. She bought the whole block, as we say. And then we would mention her daughter Asphali or Asphali or whatever. She was like Jezebel on steroids, like worse. You know, really. She was evil on steroids. I mean, we thought that Jezebel was bad. Her daughter like took it to a whole nother level. True, for real. You know, because Jezebel and idol worship to Israel, Athaliah brought the same idols to Judah, which is a territory dedicated to God. Okay? Ahab and Jezebel's marriage was a political arrangement. Okay, that goes back to his father who made an alliance with the king, you know, so that, you know, their kids can marry. And so the alliance was a treaty with idolatry. Now, Baalism was a vile and cruel religion. I have a Haley's handbook. And so the handbook says, prophets of Baal and Asherah were official murderers of little children. In Megiddo, in the stratum of Ahab and Jezebel's time, jars were found containing remains of children that had been sacrificed to Baal, illustrating the horrible nature of Baal worship. That helps us understand why Jehu was so ruthless in his extermination of Baal. You know, because, I mean, this religion was horrible. Anyone know who Jehu was, right? Okay. 2 Kings 9,
for those that are listening, Jehu can be found in 2 Kings 9, verse 7. It said that Jezebel was from Sidon, or Sidon, however your translation reads. And so it was a stronghold city that was known for sin, licentiousness, idolatry, sexual immorality, and also, you know, known for its worship of Baal and Asherah. This is the environment that Jezebel was raised in. Okay? And Ahab was from Jezreel, Samaria. Jezreel, J-E-Z-R-E-L, was the city that worshiped God, Jehovah. Okay? In Jezreel, they sought after God. Okay? Jezreel means reproduction and fruit, the land of Jezreel, where Ahab was from. But when he married Jezebel, he not only married her, but he married her God. And so he came into covenant with her gods, and he built a temple of Baal in this holy place. You know, he built a temple and an altar in a city that worshiped God. He brought in idolatry. But that, God charged Ahab. That's why I said Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel's anger than all the kings who were before him. He did more to provoke God. He was like the worst, because his guilt was on the failure to. He did not expunge their worship. That's what he was guilty of, because Jezebel couldn't have any influence except that she was married to Ahab. He made it possible for her to do what she did. He built the altars to satisfy her. And so his marriage highlights the link between idolatrous practices and immoral behavior. Because if you understand anything about Ahab, his character was one of tolerance. Whatever you want to do, I'm not going to force you to do this. He has tolerance. We just saw, you know, in Revelation 2. This is what I have against you, for tolerating. No. Ahab is a spirit of tolerance, of passivity. You know, he was manipulative, but passive. He knew when Jezebel plotted to have Naboth killed, he knew exactly what she did. He allowed it to happen. He didn't try to stop it. No. He just kind of laid on his bed and pouted and, you know, Naboth will give me his vineyard, and, you know, whining and crying. And, you know, Jezebel was like, okay, fine, I'll get it for you. He allowed this to happen. Because he had this tolerance. You know, whatever you want to worship, whatever you want to do. And I think we have this spirit of tolerance even here in America, in the United States, you know, because we tolerate all types of practice, even within Christianity. You know, it's almost like the church is being pressured almost to accept a lot of things as idolatrous. You know, the government is passing laws, you know, same-sex marriage, things of that nature. And we're almost pressured to have to kind of tolerate, you know? We understand there can be no compromise with unrighteousness. We cannot continue to tolerate a lot of what goes on, a lot of what happens. But it's almost like we're being forced to kind of sit back. Well, we're not going to say anything about it, but, you know, tolerance. Exodus 20 says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them." Exodus 23, "You shall not bow down to their gods or serve them, nor according to their work, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars." Now, to bow means to give superiority or to reverence another being. And so when we're bowing down to an idol, to a false god, we are submitting to powers. So when an altar is built to any idol or false god, like just saw here, Ahab, the idols, Baal. It's an exaltation of the devil, which is why we have to dethrone Satan from his position. That's Revelation 2, Pergamum, the house of Pergamum. Because if an idol is not down, then what happens is that the iniquity is going to pass from generation to generation. That's how we end up having nations that are cursed with poverty and infirmity because they have bowed down to false images, death structure, marriage. So we took our finger in Revelation 2, going back up to verse 12. This is talking about, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things, says, who has a sharp two-edged sword, I know your work and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, which was my faithful martyr who killed upon Satan. Well, Pergamos was a church. Okay? And so what's happening in this letter is that they're being fraternized with the people that held Dr. Baal and also the Nicolaitans that compromised with pagan cults and have been rejected by the Ephesian church or recorded by the Church of Pergamum. And so Satan had failed to destroy the church with persecution, so instead he tried to destroy the church through the spirit of compromise, which is what Pergamos is guilty of. You know, so what happened was that Christian standards were lowered and there was this union between Christianity and paganism. But I like the promise found in verse 17. It says, to him that overcome will I give to of the hidden manna and will give him a white stone and in the stone a new name which no man knows, saving that refuse. Hidden manna is what? Our new life in Christ. And the white stone is for freedom, slavery. And the new name represents the character. I love the promise to the faithful people that's given it. Now, we know in Scripture that whenever we study ever a godly power with word, when the first thing that he had to do was to tear down false idols. Gideon is a prime example. Gideon's name was also Jerubbaal, which means let Baal contend. So his father gave him that name, broke the altars of Baal, and fought against the idolatry judges. Gideon's family worshiped Baal Asherah. So to free himself and his person, he was instructed to tear down the altar of these false gods and then build the altar of God. So Judges 6, 5. So the false idol of Baal had to be destroyed in Israel before Gideon could lead the nation to victory. He obeyed the Lord, but not that upset. Like we saw that with Paul, you know, because, you know, they believed Baal was their, you know, so of course Gideon, you know, tore down the idols, they're going to get upset, you know. And, you know, the Israelites had turned from God and their worship of Baal. So God turned them over to the Midianites, 7. And that's when they started crying out for deliverance, God raised. Now, we know that Israel was no stranger. Because whenever they came into Canaan, they always had to deal with the gods of that land, especially Baal. The Israelites constantly fell into idol worship of Baal over and over and over. Why? Idol worship.
Over and over.
Mario? I think one of the reasons why they kind of fell into idol worship was because they would not trust God for their daily life. Even though God had told them not to serve any gods, but to trust him for their daily bread on top of this Sunday. You know, they kept falling into spiritual adultery. You know, they talk about this in Sunday where the scriptures give us our daily bread. Have a hard time for today. You know, because we're worried about what's and sometimes start hoarding. I see this a lot with the population that I work with. I work with a lot of intellectual backgrounds, so they hoard food because they've been left alone a lot of times, so they've had to fend for themselves, they had to eat up a trash can or had. And so now that they're in a safe place, they still have this distrust issue, and they're hoarding food, so they have bars all kinds of hidden all under their beds and mattresses. Wars the other, you know, and this is kind of not trust God. I know I'm talking about children, but even in our adult life, sometimes we have a hard time trusting God for tomorrow. But for the children, I think it is surviving. But for us that are born again, you know, I also think it's a lack of trust in God. For him to be our provider, for him to be our Jehovah, you know, and so we overindulge. I need to raise both hands. No, or I've seen some adults who hoard stuff. They got boxes and boxes, right? You know, yes. And I hear I, and I have to self-protect. And when we're just self-protecting, that means what? We don't trust. You know, I have to take care of my family. I have to do this because it's all about me. Yes. It's almost like, those things have become idols. You know, they, you know, like, no, I need all 20 bags of toilet. Really? You know, this, you know, like you said, this attachment isn't like you're idolizing the toilet tissue or something. Right. You know, or idolizing whatever you have. I used to work with a woman. Who I just said her office was a store. She had everything in her office. Salt, pepper, all kinds of, you know, snacks and cookies and spices. And I'm like, you got a grocery store in your office? She had a heart of gold. She really did. But you walk into her office, it was a store, really. I mean, she had a refrigerator stock with pop and all, and open up her drawers, she had all kinds of cookies and sunflower seeds.
Hey. Yep.
The same shoe in every color. God, be our daily, totally. Sometimes individuals may play the lottery. Trust God to meet my angel Nephi, better go play the lottery. And so we have gone a whoring after. That's what the word says. That's the word. Whoring after other guys. That's Judges. There, one of the names for Baal is Baal Hamon, H-A-M-O, and it means Lord of Wealth or Abundance. And so, prophetically speaking, I believe that this principality is what wars against wealth. Baal. Remember, it's small L of Lord of Wealth. You know, so that, so I believe this prophetically, you know, it, that's one of the principles that we have to war against, you know, with the transfer of wealth. Fail. Now, we know that Canaan was Israel's promise. And so in Deuteronomy 7, God had told the Israelites to destroy the Canaanites. Now, Bible handle. in the high place, there's a temple that had, where they worshiped Baal. So under the debris, archaeologists had done excavating. And so under the debris of the high place, they found a lot of jars containing the remains of children that had been sacrificed to Baal. The whole area was a cemetery for. And so also in the high place, under the rubbish, archaeologists found an enormous quantity of images and plaques of Asherah, which with rudely exaggerated sex organs designed to foster. So the Canaanites worshiped by immoral indulgence as a religious rite in the presence of their gods, and then by murdering their firstborn children as a sacrifice to sustain God. It seems that in a large measure, the land of Canaan had become a sort of Sodom and Gomorrah on a national scale. Now we wonder why God told the Israelites to exterminate, right? Because God's object in the command to exterminate the Canaanites, besides being a judgment, was to keep Israel from idolatry and its shameful practices. Because God has founded the Israelite nation for what? Paving the way for the coming. So therefore, if Israel had fallen to idolatry, then that would have, there wouldn't have been any reason for it to, as a nation. So he had to clean up that land of idolatry. We mentioned the Philistines, how they worship Baal and Asherah, Dagon. Dagon's like a fish god, like half. Philistia was just a few miles from Sidon. So, of course, Baal worship was prevalent in that area. And so now, remember in Exodus 13, when the Israelites left Egypt, God knew they were not yet ready to confront the Philistines because idolatry was still reigning. So if they had been confronted immediately with the defiling nature of the Philistines, that means they would have been forced to return. Exodus 13:7. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was needed. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds as they did before and return. So God did not go that way. Because the idolatry was still. We know that Samson, he married, his wife was a daughter of, not Delilah, but the woman in Judges 14. She was a daughter of the Philistines. And his parents told him, like, don't marry her. But he said, she's hell. I have to marry her. No, and he did, and later he was betrayed. That's Judges 14. We are going to be done here in about 10 minutes. I promise you we will. What time is your ride? Okay, so they're early. Okay. When Israel began to occupy the land, God allowed the Philistines to remain to test Israel. And if we read Judges 3, it says, now these are the nations which the Lord left, that he might test Israel by them. That is, all who had not known any of the wars came. Then the third verse says, namely, five lords of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, Sidonians, and the Hivites, dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon. So Israel no doubt saw the Philistines as an aggressive people, and they failed to realize why God had sent them tests. Judges 10 says that Israel departed from the ways of Jehovah and turned to the gods of Canaanites and the gods of the Philistines. Judges 10, 6, 7. Then the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baal and the Asherah, the gods of Syria, the gods of Moab, the gods of the people of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines. They forsook the Lord and did not serve him. Verse 7. So the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them to the hands of the Philistines of Ammon. So we're going to go into talking about how Baal operates more. So if we look in Exodus 32, and we're not going to read, but this is a good idea of the influence that Baal had on the Israelites. This is when Moses was on the mountain, Exodus 32, and he was gone for a while. And so what happened was that they told Aaron to make them an idol they could worship. Okay? Because the Israelites saw Moses as a type of God, small g, that they could touch and see and feel secure. And so that's why they approached Aaron, because now Moses is gone. He's in the mountain. So where's our God? You know? So they had Aaron make them this idol that they could see and touch. So then they began to mock God, capital G, drink and plain, bow down, worshiping this calf and proclaiming it as their God. And so the word slay means to laugh and mock God. What was happening is that the Israelites did not understand the intensity of Moses' calling. Okay, they didn't understand that. And so they turned from God and from his divine direction and bowed down to the evil influences of Baal. Because the spirit behind Baal says we have to have what we have, who we have, when we want it now. No. This happens in the church. We see it in the church sometimes when the leader can't be available, you know, and then because we want our leader right here, right now, when we want, you know, sometimes we idolize our leaders, and we expect them to be there for us every second of the day. And when they can't, then we want to mumble and grumble and complain. They're ignoring me, you know. Yes. Because they have idolized the leader, and because of immaturity, that's what it is, surely they want that leader right there, right? You know, every time I blink, you know, I want the leader. You know, and what I believe that what we should be teaching people is to go to Jesus for him to meet our needs. You know, because leaders are human. They have families. They have personal lives as well, you know, and they also, you know, you're not the only sheep that they have. they have a whole congregation. Sometimes they have other churches they oversee. Sometimes they have other, whatever. I mean, they have a lot on their plate, you know. So it is impossible for them to be, you know, exact. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you can't do it all. Right. And we can't expect the leader to do it all. We can't expect them to be every place, everywhere, you know, because they have a lot on their plate, you know. And so this spirit of it promotes rebellion. It encourages conspiracy against godly leaders. So then when rebellion sets in, Satan can use that for him to doubt the leaders that God has put in place. You know, because Satan has been twisted that whole thing around and you become rebellious now because he wasn't there for me. You know, just open the door for the enemy to come in. And now he's planted this seed of doubt. This is the leader that God has put over you, but now this enemy is now causing you to doubt that person because of rebellion. Become impatient and unwilling to wait on God's time. We saw that with fornication, one from the outside of the proper timing. You know, the spirit of Baal causes us to become impatient. See in Exodus 32, they couldn't wait for Moses to come down, so we need a God right here and now. You know, impatient. Baal tries to seize authority illegitimately. We saw this with in Naboth's vineyard, you know, through manipulation and control. Jezebel had Naboth killed. She lied or had the sons of Belial conspire against Naboth and, you know, speak all types of falsehood against him and had him killed. You know, she, you know, this, and so manipulation and control, illegitimately seizing authority. And we see in the church sometimes when people gossip and they tell lies to gain spiritual authority because they want power, they want position. You know, the enemy strategizes to sell out. And settle for less than what God has for us. And we talked about this earlier with the government. This demonic force changed laws to serve these idolatrous, ungodly laws of same-sex marriages, legalized abortion, and the other. We have to understand that God is government, okay? So he requires us to agree with him. Okay? He don't have to agree with us. We have to agree with him and his divine order. And so any attempt to overthrow what he has in place is seizing illegitimate authority, you know. And so we see this with the government, you know, legalizing abortion, same-sex marriage. That's not what God put in place. But this is what the government is trying to overstep what God has already put in place. Baal is also a religious spirit about doing and not necessarily doing, you know, dead work. A religious spirit requires an outward expression of loyalty rather than an inward heartfelt desire. It causes people to become extremely legalistic and dogmatic in their view. It compromises the standard of holiness. Sometimes you may have leaders who will say, if you're not aligned with this particular doctrine, you know, then, you know, it's wrong or whatever. That control is it's that religious spirit. Baal is a god of performance. We saw this in 1 Kings 18. Remember when the prophets started cutting themselves and going to this craziness? That was because they worshiped Baal. Okay, it was all about performance and no relationship. It's all about performance. And so when this spirit is active, it feels like that we have to perform. We have to do things. you know, and unless we tear down this idol, you know, we're going to continue to perform and do and not become. Now, spirits are connected by their associates, so they're associated with each other through different assignments. So in Acts 7 and 43, it talks about the various associates of Baal, which is Molech and Rehan. And so the evil influence of these three spirits, Baal, Molech, and explains why the Israelites were never able to fully cross over into their promised land. Because Molech is the evil behind abortion, we understand that. Abortion is not necessarily murdering unborn children. It's the murder of children. You know, whatever God has birthed, you know, can be aborted. Molech has. And then Rehan, Rehan, and lifeless, those are curses of death. And so the entire time the Israelites carried these idols, attempting to hide their sin, they remained in bondage, which only brought them more sorrow. And so what happened, you know, they died. The Israelites died in the wilderness because they wouldn't let go of the past. So God had to raise a new generation. And what happens is that if we keep holding on to the past, you know, we're taking these, they're in bondage. You know, this idolatry with us. And this is a threefold cord. Well, cord, honey. It's a hellish assignment of the end time seduction against church. It's a threefold cord destruction that the enemy has planned against the church to lock it down. And so we have three different demonic strongholds working together to bring destruction to the body of Christ. So their interaction together gives them great. And so what happens is that, you know, the enemy, he commissions his demons to work in three. So when three forces work together, allied together, then an evil resistance is established, a supernatural, so to speak. And so this unholy trinity implements a spiritual lockdown that blocks expansion, breakthrough, and freedom. Four key attributes of Baal, and then I'm going to be done. First, death and destruction is very integral in Baal worship. Spirit of Baal will operate through an entire culture to bring destruction. We see that here, even the music, some of the music that our young people are listening to is a conduit. But if we listen to lyrics, a lot of the music that our young people listen to, it brings thoughts of suicide and murder and violence. You know, with a lot of the rap music and all the other music, this is death and destruction. Yes, you know, that's another, with something else very integral in Baal worship is sexuality, sexual deviation, sexual immorality. The handbook, I keep referencing Haley's handbook, it says Baal was her principal god and Asherah was the goddess. She was the personification of the reproductive principle in nature. Ishtar, we know, was her Babylonian. Balaam, plural, Baal, was images of Baal. Asherah was a sacred pole, cone of stone, or a tree trunk, representing the goddess. Temples of Baal and Asherah were used together. Priests were temple prostitutes. Sodomites were male temple prostitutes. The worship of Baal, Asherah, and other Canaanites. We see this on television. So we see how this is filtering into, you know, today. We talk about control. You know, the spirit of Baal is very legalistic, very controlling. And we saw that with the spirit of Jezebel, or with Jezebel being a worshiper of Baal. You know, she was more controlling than Ahab. Ahab responded to her control. He enabled her. No, which is why, you know, it says he did more to anger God, or he was the worst than all, you know. He purposely did this. He knew what he was doing, but he was just fine. You know. And Baal always opposes truth. Okay. The demonic worship of Baal is based on lies, while worshiping God, our God, is based on spirit and truth. Okay? Just go ahead. No tolerance for truth. Okay? Now, I know a lot of times we talk about Jezebel's spirit and we turn to a she, but we need to understand that the Jezebel spirit is not just female mm-hmm. spirit. No, it can be in males as well. Right. But like I said last week, wherever there's Jezebel, there's Ahab. You know, if Jezebel is active, spirit of Jezebel, again, we're talking about the spirit, not the person. No, we're talking about the spirit. You know, if that spirit is active, person is active, Jezebel spirit, there's an Ahab somewhere that is that individual. And I don't want to say she, because it could be a male that is operating Jezebel spirit, that female, Ahab, also, that is feeding that spirit. I know we've some of us have been guilty in the past of saying, oh, she's a real Jezebel or whatever. We have to really be careful what we say, because that is not what God says about the person. You know, and that's not their identity. That's not what God says. So I know, in the past we may say, oh, she's a Jezebel. I know I've said it in the past. Maybe about 20 years ago, you know, I actually called someone a Jezebel. And, you know, now that I've grown, that's not what God says. And so we have to refrain from what we're calling, because we have to understand it's a spirit, and it's not the individual, it's a spirit. We have to learn how to divide the spirit and the actual spirit. So, yes, the spirit of Baal is active today under a lot of different names, but it's still here. And God has exposed spirit as one of the strongest, or perhaps the strongest, over America. Said earlier, it's from behind conversion, took shaft, abortion. And all of this here is under Baal. And Baal always goes after the next. It's after our children, trying to cut off the extension of God's covenant. Okay? It's a violent spirit that requires sacrifice. Just like Papa Athalia, Athalia, Jezebel's daughter, you know, because Satan wanted to destroy Judah. So Athalia, she was what, 7 years old? Because she had murdered all her grandchildren, you know, except for one. One had been hidden, you know. She was a generational seed of Ahab and Jezebel and Ethbaal, you know, really. No. She was the queen of Judah, and so she directly targets all that Judah. Judah, we know, was dedicated to Judah, means praise. Okay? And so what was happening was Satan was attempting to destroy the seed that was ultimately going to lead to Jesus. So even back then, because out of the tribe of Judah, David's throne was going to be established, and Jesus born to David's lineage. Judah, we know, means praise, but also means throw, shoot, cast down, or throw down, which refers to the warfare that's associated with Judah. And so whenever God releases a prophetic, that strength lies possessing what God gives us. Psalms 144 says he strengthens our hands to win the battle and possess our. So, you know, the church, you know, and so this spirit, the nation and sexual morality, self-focused, devalued by devotion to God, tolerance. So it happened to Israel, it still happens to us. And so I'm going to end with Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5 says, woe to those who call evil good and good substance, bitter for sweet food. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes, clever in their own sight. So that's it for tonight. Talking about the spirit of Baal. Next week, we will not be here. It's the day before Thanksgiving. So we want everyone to enjoy time with you. Cook turkey. All that wonderful stuff. So we will not be here next day, but we will be here the following Wednesday with our final lesson on spiritual contamination. And then in December, we will start a new in January, something else. So thank everyone for coming out this evening and for tuning in with us on Blog Talk Radio. And we're going to ask Pastor Jeff if he would close out in prayer.
Father God, we just thank you right now, Lord, for your word that has went forth, for Heavenly Father, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Lord, that it will deep our heart, Lord, and it will pierce our hearts, for Heavenly Father, Lord, and change our hearts and minds, Lord, to do what you call us to do, oh Heavenly Father, and make us spiritually grow and develop, oh Heavenly Father, Lord. We just thank you right now. Thank you for this time together, Lord, of breaking bread of your manna and your word, oh Heavenly Father, Lord. We thank you for Minister April for bringing forth the word, oh Heavenly Father, Lord. We thank you for all those that are listening, Lord. We just bless each and every family, Lord, in this holiday season, this Thanksgiving season, Lord, that you would just cover us, Lord, keep us, Lord, through all the finances and just and keeping a roof over our head, oh Heavenly Father, and just food on our table, Heavenly Father, Lord. And we just thank you right now, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you continue to do, Lord. For we ask in Jesus' name, we do pray.